On today's episode, here on Santopia Podcast, we interview Mrs. Anita Cano, a youth minister at the Iglesia Bautista Victoria en Cristo here in Fort Worth. She graduated from DBU with a master's in global leadership and has done many years of advocacy in international adoption, international missions, and Buckner International, also a host program coordinator at Dillon International, and having a bunch of expertise in immigration and payday loans that not only does she use to help others through those organizations, but has now, as a youth minister at her own church, helped inspire other young people in their inspirations to move forward despite their limitations and barriers. So our purpose for her on the show today is to bring all those great resources and expertise that she has in advocacy in other realms and how they can still be related back to healthcare. We know that when people are sick, their voice is not heard as well, and their desires are not heard as well either. So what more than bring a great woman of God with all this expertise in advocacies to bring it to the podcast today? I couldn't wait to invite her, and I hope you enjoy the episode today. Enjoy! Hi everyone, this is Dr. Irene Lazarus here with Anita Cano for talking about on Santopia Podcast regarding advocacy in several different avenues. She has an expertise in a lot of things. She's a Wonder Woman. So we'll start off with introducing her. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Anira Cano. I'm a youth minister here in Fort Worth at Iglesia Bautista Victoria en Cristo. And I also do some advocacy work with different Christian organizations. And I've just been so privileged to be able to learn more about advocacy and at the same time be able to prepare churches, equip them with how to do advocacy. And today we want to share with you three things. We want to share with you what is advocacy in a nutshell. One is how can medical professionals be advocates for their patients? And then three, how can family members be advocates for their loved ones? Mm-hmm. And to begin, advocacy in a nutshell is pretty much being able to speak on behalf of someone or equipping somebody else to have their own voice. Right. Mm-hmm. And so many times we have people who they don't know that they need help, or maybe they need help, but they don't have the access to the places or to the people of power or the people who have the resources. And so you are you speak on behalf of them. But most importantly, you equip others to speak on their behalf. And so you're equipping them to know how to speak up on their behalf, because they have a need and they need resources. And so an advocate helps that person learn how to speak on their behalf. Mm-hmm. And so today we want to focus on the medical field, right?
Right.
And I work
because I mean the way I met Ms. Anyara was through a women's conference where we were I was listening to her life story, and it was very amazing how she got into advocacy. And given that she has, even though she might not be anything related with healthcare, but the thing is that advocacy is something, an important concept in the healthcare related field. Absolutely. And I know that she, even though it might be different, but it could be applied the same way into our discussion of advocacy in general. So this is why I had to ask her to be on the podcast for Santopia, because that's the whole point of one of the missions of Santopia Podcast is to bring resources and empower our listeners to understand their resources, how they can navigate through a system that is very riddled with barriers. I mean, even myself, who is a doctor, I'm a doctor. And sometimes I'm even lost in my own system. So imagine if someone who goes in there and they don't speak English, or they're from another country, they have different cultural customs, you know, then they're going to be lost in how to approach the system. We're going to be at an odds. So this is why this is a great topic in general.
Well, and something I failed to mention was that I do a lot of advocacy on behalf of immigrants, right? Mm-hmm. And so many times in the medical field, we do have immigrants who don't know the system, don't understand the system. You said, you know, we're from here and it's already difficult for us to try to figure out what the medical field, sometimes it's hard to even understand the medical insurance, right?
what plan do I take? I don't even know. I want the cheapest one, but then the cheapest one can hurt you in the long run.
Or even being at a hospital, being with the doctors, we don't know. Sometimes we don't even know what is it that we can access. And that's why I care so much about talking about advocacy for immigrants in the healthcare, because I think if it's difficult for us we speak English, we can read English, mm-hmm. what about those immigrants who are here and they just don't know how to speak to somebody and they're afraid? Mm-hmm. And so if you do work in the medical field, it's very important for you to consider those who are different from you, and maybe from a different country. Be able to really take some time to intentionally ask them questions or find help for them, mm-hmm. right? As an advocate, as a medical professional, maybe finding a translator for them. Maybe trying to have something on your phone, I don't know, an app.
Yeah, they have it in the hospitals. They have even a whole, like a system, like a whole computer that like talks. And you can call from whatever language. But sometimes I think that the important thing, outside of the fact that you know you're going to have that service to you in the hospital, but first of all, I want to let you guys know, the listener, that if you have a family member that has a very unique language, that they can find it in the hospital, and that service exists. If they tell you that, oh, we don't have that here, then they probably are not very well informed. I'm not going to say that they're lying, because that's I don't want to be rough, but I want to say that I want to let you guys know that it's a requirement, actually, for hospitals to have translation services of some sort. Outside of that, I think what we're trying to get at is that there's some cultural things there as well that would even limit the person to ask things in a certain way. And that's what we're trying to get at.
Yeah, another thing that I wanted to mention is, well, one is the language barrier. Right? Language barrier can be an issue for immigrants.
In general, yeah.
And so as a medical professional, trying to find how to help your patient through that barrier. Another thing that as a medical professional that it would be important to consider is maybe their immigration status. Mm-hmm. Many times they're afraid. Maybe they've overstayed their visa. Maybe they're here undocumented. And to really consider being careful how we ask questions. Immigrants are already afraid, especially undocumented immigrants, they're already afraid of going to a medical facility because they're worried that you might call immigration on them, you might, mm-hmm. Call the police. And so just being sensitive to those issues is very, very important. If they bring something up, or if you notice that they're fearful, they're anxious, or they're
just afraid. Just know that in front that they might be, and then you can probably say, you know, don't, like, reassurance, like, mm-hmm. It's okay, you don't have to worry about the fact you will get care, no one's going to come here, don't feel like you are not able to get this or that, I will be here to clarify all those things for you. And just saying that, that's reassuring to them.
Right, just letting them know that your only purpose there is to help them in their medical needs. Mm-hmm. And that you have no obligation to have to contact, anybody of immigration. That your obligation is to take care of them. And so that's, we have the language, we have their immigration status. Another thing to consider would be finances. Mm-hmm. Immigrants struggle with, they might not have insurance, and so they struggle to think, I want to get out of here as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Please take care of this, do whatever you need to do, but do it fast, or you don't have to do everything, just give me something to put a band-aid on it, right, to take care of it. And maybe medical mm-hmm. professionals, what you could do as an advocate is to assure them that there's resources, but connect them to those resources, right? Mm-hmm. We have hospital chaplains, we have hospital social workers who do know of those resources. So you might not know everything, right. But you know that a social worker is there to be able to help the patient find those resources.
Yeah.
And so that's a great way to help patients. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. We have the language. We have finances. Mm-hmm. We have the immigration status.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else? I agree with that, especially the financial part. I think sometimes there is limitations sometimes, or like there might be a program to pay everything if you have the legal status, but that doesn't mean that then you're just a lost case. Like there is sometimes where they can find ways to make it emergent chemo, for example, or emergency related, and then that it is covered. So there is ways, but like again, like she was saying, that the social workers is going to be a whole group of people who are deciding all this together.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes immigrants don't know that exists, that that there's resources that can help them, such as social workers, right? Or even if they need more of a spiritual care, to be able to call on a chaplain in some hospitals. And so it's important to be able to connect them to those things.
Yeah.
Another thing that I was considering is many times immigrants, at least speaking from a Hispanic perspective and my perspective, I have seen as a minister who goes to visit patients, many times they're very afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
Or they see it as maybe disrespectful. Or they're just afraid that maybe you won't take care of them if you annoy them. And so it's important that as medical professionals to maybe be the one to answer those questions. That if you put yourself in their shoes, say, what would I want to know if this was my family member? Or if this was me, what would I want to know? And so go ahead and answer those questions, or ask the questions and then answer it for them. So that they know that they have the liberty to ask you those questions. I visited with many Hispanic congregants who I go to them and I ask them, okay, so what did the doctor say? I don't know. Did you ask about this? No, I didn't know I could. Mm-hmm. And so as medical professionals, I think that you have such a key and great opportunity to be able to share what you know and to really be that advocate and say, here, let me give you a voice. Let me equip you with the voice of what questions to ask.
Yeah, and too, like, maybe we were talking heavily regarding the hospital setting, but but actually the way I met Miss Anita was through her husband, who is a chaplain in the hospital region here in DFW. So, and he works actually dedicated in the preventative side, where it's outside of the hospital, and that during there's certain clinics, and in the clinical setting, like the outpatient, you know, that this is where you need to be asking the questions. Like, yeah, by the time you get to the hospital, you're really sick and there's emergent things or more important things that need to take precedence. But that in the outpatient setting, I want you to know that, I guess I feel like my patients that are might have that immigration status not defined, they feel like they don't deserve to ask questions, or they just need to be the least disturbant. And I feel like, no, that you should, this is what we're trying to say, that maybe knowing the fact that this is how they feel, that maybe you should be more bold in the way you approach them. Mm-hmm. And that you say, okay, well, tell me about, and encourage them, ask questions, it's okay. Because in the clinical setting, you know, when you're outside in the clinic, that's when they can ask. And then, you know, where is this, where is that? But they feel actually it's a cultural thing, like, oh no, their doctors are a sense of authority and actually should, okay, they tell me this, yes sir, yes ma'am, and that's it.
Right.
And that's good, that's actually part of our culture, but then for Hispanic people at least. And so when they go, this kind of, they get out of the clinic and they go talk to somebody they feel more comfortable with, and they're like, did you ask this? No, nothing.
Right, yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to get at, that even, and I think the clinical setting, the place where you're outside, that's where you need to also be aggressive. But I know that's kind of, it's intimidating.
Right, right. And then also be an advocate like you are, right?
This is why I have this podcast.
Yeah, so being an advocate and doing preventative work, right?
Preventative and know about being awareness of things out there.
Right, of saying, hey, have you checked your sugar? Have you checked, do you walk? Do you run? Do you exercise? Mm-hmm. Do you check yourself on an annual basis, right?
That's what you need to be doing.
So you're being a great advocate as a medical professional. You're reminding people of the things that you need to do. Mm-hmm. And many times we get busy and we forget that we need to go get that medical exam because it's been about 3 years, right?
Yeah.
We think we're fine, we feel healthy, but we need to be reminded by people who are well, knowledgeable.
In that area.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing. And then I know that you have, like we had mentioned earlier, that she has some experience in advocacy in other realms, and specifically immigration. I was going to ask, like, maybe I love storytelling, guys. That's like my favorite thing. I think it's because I grew up with my dad and my mom reading to me, and I'm like, story time. So, I want to, for the public here, can we tell us a story, like, where you were advocating for someone and, I mean, it's touched your heart, and that you could tell us, like, the scenario and how you, through the advocacy, the power of advocacy, personified in one of your stories.
In just in general or in medical?
In general, for you, because I bet you have a bunch of stories about some crazy, very unfortunate stories, and then how it could turn around.
Yeah.
And we want to give people hope also on this podcast that, that we're not just talking about this because we think it's important. It's because it is important, right?
So one of the most impactful times for me has been sitting in the closest elementary school here to our church. And we were talking about a PTA. And as we're talking with parents about how we can be helpful and a resource to the school, our church has an immigration center.
Okay.
Actually, this is where we're sitting.
We're in the immigration center.
Where we help,
with the map behind us.
Yes. And as we started talking to them, these parents about the resources that are in our community, including our immigration center, they just started crying. And it was really awkward.
At the PTA meeting.
Yeah, they just started crying.
Why are you crying?
What's going on? Like, what did we do? What did we say? And we explored with them and we said, okay, what's going on? Like, why are you crying? And I remember them sharing, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of that when I leave the school that I'll be picked up by immigration. And that my kids won't know what happened to me. And they were just crying. And the principal, who doesn't even speak Spanish, is crying because she sees everybody else crying. And everybody just starts sharing their story about the fear that they have for their children, for themselves. And their biggest fear was just that their children would go home and wouldn't find them. And so being able to be there, one, to listen to their stories, and two, to be able to connect them to resources. Be able to say, look, we have these resources for you, and you have opportunity to seek out these resources, and it's a privilege to be able to share those stories with being able to, when I go to meet with our representatives, with congressmen or congresswomen, to be able to share those stories with them and say, look, this is the fears of our people in our communities, and so maybe their fear didn't allow them to express how they were feeling. And so because they weren't able to express, they weren't able to find the resources in their community. But now they've expressed it, and now we're able to say, hey, there's these resources, right? And then not only are there those resources, now I can share your story. And when I'm meeting with somebody in power or an authority, I can say, have you considered these issues? For instance, last year in August, we met with So it's the council, Fort Worth City Council, was deciding whether or not to join a lawsuit against the Senate Bill 4, which is a bill that is very anti-immigrant. Okay. And it's almost like a show me your papers kind of bill. And so,
as in the right for people in authority to just ask for papers.
Yeah, so if a cop pulls you over, and if
they
kind of
passed that in Oklahoma, for example,
in
Arizona,
in Texas, and so we were at city council asking for city council to join a lawsuit against SB4. In other words, so that SB4 could not go into, it wouldn't be put into place, right? And so when we're there, I'm able to share stories of the people in my community and the fear that they face. And people are hearing these stories, and they went all over NPR.
With the stories.
Yeah, and so people, not only people in power are listening about that these are true, these are people, right? These are people who are going through hard and difficult times. Mm-hmm. And so when their story is brought up, people get to realize, oh, this is not just a number, this is not just a problem that's far away from me. No, this is a problem in my community. Right, we get to humanize the problem to people. So,
and that must feel amazing. I mean, because I feel like also that even in our medical field, like as residents, I feel like that would be another one of my goals in my career, to advocate for resident physicians that don't have access to medical care. I know, isn't that kind of weird that I'm telling you that that's a problem? But because I know that I've been in that situation, and I was a resident myself, and so having that lack of a voice, it's so frustrating. Mm-hmm. And that, where do you go? Mm-hmm. It's almost like when there's no entity even made, how you just feel like you're just in fear, and that you just cannot make a difference. And I know that maybe the way I could do that is through you. You can help me. I can do that. But that'd be a future conversation. Yeah. But I just feel like I feel so, how would you say, convicted to want to do that for even in my field. And because we are taking care of others. And how is it possible that we would be shamed or limited to access of care for our own selves? Because no, we're perfect. We're supposed to be able to work and, you know, complete basically we're supposed to be perfect. We never have systems. We never get sick. We never need any mental health. We never, because we're the doctor. Well, that's not right.
Yeah. So just remember, advocacy includes being able to speak on behalf of others, but it also includes being able to equip others to speak on their behalf, right? But sometimes it takes an advocate it takes an advocate to shake the boat.
Right, and that's what I want to do.
Sometimes it takes, and you know, you have to be willing to take risks.
Right.
And as an advocate, you have to say, this is not right.
And just say that.
You have to take a stand and say, this is not right. What are we going to do to move the dial? You know, what are we going to do to make a difference? And so part of advocacy is not just to say, hey, you know, do something, but it's, hey, be able to stand up and say, this is not right, and we have to do something about this. And sometimes it doesn't take one time. It takes being that nagger that, hey, we need to do something. Hey, we got to do something, right? Until somebody finally says, you know what? Wait, you're right. You know, it's going to take time to find the person, the right
person. In a group. Because I think that another element, maybe you probably can confirm this because you do this as a living, that advocacy starts with one person. Like, it has to start somewhere. But you're saying that for it to actually have a move towards a real good direction would be a group effort. But that takes time.
Yeah, it takes time. It takes time for people to say, you know what, that is a problem. We need to join them and we need to start connecting. There's different ways to do advocacy, right? You do advocacy within your own community where you stand up. You can do it in the public square, which means, you know, government places. You can do it in schools. You can do it on social media like we're doing right now. You can do it in conversations with key people. Right, so for instance,
what would be key people?
So you get to meet people from different hospitals, right? Key people at different hospitals, and start bringing up the conversation, and say, hey, what do you do for people on your staff? What do you do for doctors? What help is there for doctors? Well, this, that. Well, have you considered that maybe doctors don't have access to this, or that that nurses don't have access to this, and start throwing those rocks. Little by little, chipping at it's like a sculptor. You're chipping it away.
Okay.
Little by little, and you're just like, hey, raising up that flag every time it's needed. you know.
And this is the same thing you're doing with the immigration part.
Yeah, just trying to be a you know.
You're just doing your little part of the sculpting, but right. It needs so many people in order for it to be.
Yes, yes. Like I did some immigration in regards to payday loans. And so teaching churches that how dangerous payday loans are.
And
so
and to get people involved in thinking that that might be a good thing.
It's
then
a bad thing,
and then
right.
They get stuck in a very
terrible
financial situation.
Yes. And so it took, I worked on that for a year. And many times people weren't receptive to me. And like a year passes and people are like, hey, what were you talking about payday loans? We need your help over here. Could you come talk to our church about payday loans? Or... It took that long, right?
Oh, for them to come back to you.
Yeah, and you're like,
after
no,
you
we
initially...
do need help. Or what can we do about these issues? So it takes time. It's not just, I'm going to raise up my voice today and it's going to be okay.
This great thing is going to happen.
And
initiative.
That's how it is in the medical field. In any field, you know, in advocacy. Sometimes it's just something simple. But other times it might take a long time, you know. So I wanted to talk about the family members. Right.
Okay. Oh, so, yeah. How to advocate. So now we're going to transition the conversation into how we could, because we were talking about the issue and the problem in the sense of what the provider could do in regards to advocating for others. So in her case, it's like their pastors, how they're advocating from as the leaders of the problem. Mm-hmm. And then now we're going to transition to how now you're not that person, but you're probably the family member or the person themselves, right. And how you can advocate for yourself.
Yeah, so yeah. I want to share a quick story. My mom had a stroke, mm-hmm. Her first stroke, about 2 years ago. And after she had her stroke, she couldn't speak for herself, literally. Like, anything that came out of her mouth was literally gibber-jabbers. You couldn't understand anything she said, which was really sad because she literally lost her voice. You know, she couldn't say what she wanted, what she didn't want. And so her daughters needed to learn how to be advocates for her at that moment. We didn't have time to think. We had to immediately start doing. So we had to start when she was going to go to a rehab center. We needed to consider several things as an advocate for her. We needed to consider, what is this rehab center? How are they going to help her? Mm-hmm. Who are they? What is their mission? What kind of quality of care do they have? And so that's just a few things that I want to share with you about that story. But being a family member or, you know, considering for yourself is to really, and how to be an advocate for yourself or how to be an advocate for others when there is a health issue is to consider, okay, what are the questions that that person has, right? So for my mom... we know my mom, and so we knew what kind of questions she would have, right? And so we made sure to ask
those kind of questions.
But around my mom, because we wanted my mom to be there to know that we're speaking for her. Another thing is asking those people, what questions do you have? And sometimes they're afraid, and so you want to ask those questions for them or start off the questions for them and say, what other questions did you have? Right, to help them, motivate them, to equip them
to use
their voice.
Right,
and so, for instance, you as an advocate in for your family member, for yourself, is to ask, can I have a second opinion? What has been your experience in these issues? Mm-hmm. What else can be done? Many times, because nobody asks what else can be done.
What are other options? What are my options?
What are other options?
It's okay to ask that, yeah.
Right.
And just to bring my, like, the doctor point of view on this, because she's been there and done that. But the legal term for this would be power of attorney, the POA. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's a whole system where, like, if someone is assigned, it usually there's an order to it. You know, and in every state, I think it's a little different. Some of the laws, like sometimes it's if a person's married and let's say that person's like she was sick. You, Mrs. Anita, was sick and couldn't talk to yourself about yourself or be advocate for yourself. Then it'd be your husband, the next person. And then let's say you didn't have a husband, then it would be your children. And it'd be in that kind of order. And then like the oldest, and then it'd be like your mom or dad. And there's like a specific order to all of that. But you also, I want to let you guys know that you could say, you can forget all of that, a specific order by the law, which is something we have to go off of in the hospital. But we can also have where you can have a written a letter and say, you know what, I want this person to be my, you can put the name of who it is. Like, you don't have to leave it to chance, you know. Right. You can actually be empowered and write a letter in writing, say, I do not want to be resuscitated. I don't want, in these circumstances, sometimes might be a little bit murky, because it's like, well, you don't know what exactly is going to happen, so how can you predict? But you can at least say basic things that you would like, never, even if you don't, even if whatever happened, I don't want to be this or that. Right. If I already went one, I don't want to be resuscitated.
So that's,
you can say something like ultimatums.
So you're making a great point.
Yeah.
You're making a point that you could be your own advocate before this happens, right?
Who that person's going to be, the POA, right. The power of attorney.
And so a great way to be an advocate for yourself is to instruct people that in case this or this or that were to happen, this is what I want, right? Because
right, and have those conversations with your family members, even right. Because even, let's say you don't go to the formality of writing it down, but at least if you're having this conversation at your home, right. Your daughters or someone's going to hear, and then when that, I remember what Aunt Bertha wanted. Right. She did not want to be, not have a dignity or something. And then when the situation presents up, you would have some kind of understanding.
And that's one aspect. But what happens when the person didn't prepare, right? Like, like my mom, who knows when they're going to have a stroke, right?
So you guys were not prepared. You did not know what she wanted to.
Well, we knew what she wanted because we've talked about things.
Okay.
But there's nothing in writing. Right. So
right.
There's you have what's in writing as far as a power of attorney.
Yes.
And then there's what you know your family wants if there isn't a power
of attorney. Okay, I see what you're saying. And you're saying that there's two different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ideally, there would be a power of attorney. But
ideally, and that you wrote everything down.
Right.
And you
what are the chances of that? Right. I don't know many who are like that. And actually, it's interesting because now that that's happened, my mom's had other health issues that merited for us to say, the power of attorney. And
okay.
Also, doctors know that they need to call me, right? They know who to call, who not to call if for certain things, right?
Okay.
And so that's important to be able to define within the family.
And I feel like that just the fact that we're talking about this, maybe this will spark Michael for it would be that, well, you know what? I'm going to go talk to my mom or dad or talk to my husband or my wife about what I want in general, just in case. So then, because I think the more, as seeing it on the opposite side, I see that it's more of the anxiety, the fear of the family member not knowing what the answer is that the person wanted because they never talked about it.
Right.
And I think at least sparking a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
you're not in limbo. Actually, I know that death is not a very happy subject. But trust me, when they're in that situation and they don't know, it's even worse.
Right.
And they almost feel like blamed. Like they feel like anything that happens is a result of their decision and that it was a wrong decision. Mm-hmm. And so to give people the freedom, I guess almost freedom mm-hmm. to know what you want. Is actually could be a biggest blessing because they know that what they made the decision on when you're not there or you're not able to talk that they can say with kind of certainty that, okay, she didn't want that.
Right. And so, okay, you don't have it, like an immigrant, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. who might not have something like that. So you want to help that immigrant be able to speak up for themselves. And if they can't speak up for themselves, you want to make sure that their family members, maybe who understand what their parents, mm-hmm. what their loved one might have wanted, mm-hmm. is to really help them raise up their voice.
Yeah.
You know, but some simple things where you don't even need a power of attorney is like for instance, if they're in the hospital, you have mm-hmm. a loved one in the hospital, many times they don't know that they can ask for certain things in the hospital. They're afraid, mm-hmm. right? And to be able to say, hey, can I have a shower? I don't know, right? Maybe many times they haven't taken a shower and they want a shower, but they're afraid or they're like, I don't know if I can ask someone to help me take a shower. You be that person that goes, says, my mother needs you to come and take her a shower, right? And be that person who speaks up for them. But
yeah, you know, my mom cannot take this one because I know that she doesn't...
Exactly.
I know already, and I know that it sounds like you might... Well, I'm telling them what to do. But yeah, maybe you can avoid some trouble, actually.
Exactly.
Because you're the one who does this at home every day.
Yes, like a medicine, right? Like,
yeah.
There's a medicine my mom that makes... It's for pain, headache pain.
Okay.
But it makes her anxious. So
you already know, like, don't give her that.
I tell them, don't give her that, because you're just going to get really anxious. It's just going to get worse, right? So I'm being a voice for her, where she, at times she might not really be aware of what she's saying or what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And many times is my mom might start talking about everything she has. And I'm like, no, mom, focus on right now. What is going on right now, mom? It's so helping her focus. Right?
Right. And oh, that's so nice. You're a great daughter.
I learned this through, you know, all that we've been through. And so it's important to be the advocate for your family and loved one.
That's amazing.
When I was actually in the hospital back in October, and I was getting a little frustrated with the doctor who was seeing me. And I had my sister-in-law there, and she's like, wait, you, the way that you're treating her is not correct. Right? And so, interestingly enough, my sister-in-law became my advocate.
Your boy.
And she's like, wait, something's not right here, and she's not feeling good, or else she'd be like, hello, don't be acting that way. And so somebody spoke up for me. And sometimes in the healthcare, you know, when people are in the hospital or in the doctors, maybe they're not realizing that they're not being treated the way that they're supposed to be treated, but mm-hmm. you know that they're not supposed to be treated that way. It's mm-hmm. time to speak up. It's time to say, hey, you know what? In my experience, this is not what's appropriate. Mm-hmm. It's not respectful for you to be treating this patient that way. Or how about you take some more time to explain what you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. So being able to say something. I feel like there's always a good way to be assertive in your communication, because sometimes I also see the opposite where they're just like demanding all these things, and it's like, okay, that's where we're also here to serve, but, like, you know, there's approaches, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel that that when you say, I feel, you know, always say, I feel this when you're doing X, mm-hmm. is Y, or how can we change that? Mm-hmm. That's a very assertive way to say, hey, I feel like not listened to when I'm telling you this or that, and you're ignoring us. I'm trying to avoid, you know, or how can I better, because it's making me anxious that we're not knowing the next step for right. this surgery. Can someone clarify for this?
Exactly.
And so you're not being rude. You're mm-hmm. just, you're asserting how you feel. And then, well, what's the solution?
Right.
And that's a great way.
Yeah, and many times it's not so much that the nurses, the doctors don't care. It's just that they have so much they have to do that they're just getting their jobs done. And sometimes they don't realize that, you know, the family member might have more questions, or the person who needs the help has more questions. And so being able to call their attention mm-hmm. and say, hey, we really need to understand this a little more, I think is helpful for those that we're advocating for. And so,
well, thank you so much.
You're
this
welcome.
Was such a great episode. I feel like I'm mm-hmm. so glad I was able to meet you and that we were able to do this this very important topic, advocacy, you know, especially in this time in the U.S. So we will be putting this up later on. We really enjoyed our time with Mrs. Anita here, Anita Cano. And if you guys have any more questions or afterwards, we'll be putting this on Anchor. And so on Anchor, you can call in. Even like while you listen to this, you can call in and ask any follow-up questions, and maybe the next podcast we can bring her on again for something else. You know, we never know. So thank you so much, and have a great time. We'll see you, catch up next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Please call into Anchor app, or as well, which I would love that you would favorite our station. So until next time, mi gente, ciao, Dr. Lazarus.